Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Abram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, and Neshama should have an Aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, so when I said last week that we were going to move on in the Mishnah, I misspoke. We are not done with this first line of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So if you look at source number one, we'll just review the line. We're not reviewing the whole Mishnah, but the line says, Rebbe Omer, Ezui Derech Yishara Sheyavar Lo Adam. What is the straight path that a person should cross or choose? Kol Shi Tiferes Lo Sabbath Tiferes Lo Min Adam. Everything that is brings glory to either himself or to God. Refer you back to last week to know which one. V'Tiferes Lo Min Adam, as well as it brings him honor from other people. Okay, so that is what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said. The problem is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says something else somewhere else that seems to be contradictory. And that is in source number two, for all those who are holding in Shas, which is not me. There's a Gemara in Tamid. Not many people have learned Tamid. I did have a friend in Israel who was very set on learning Tamid back in the day because I think it's only 8 pages long. I might be making that up. I don't remember. But here in, but what? It starts on like 26 or something like that. It's like I don't remember the details. But either way, so the Gemara in Tamid says as follows. And as we read this, try to reconcile what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says with what we just said. What is Tamid? What is the Gemara, the Mishnah, is Tamid about? Anybody know? The Korban Tamid, right? So it's about Korbanos, it's about sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that was brought every single day, twice a day. So in the discussion of that comes where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Tanya, you have the Aramaic on the right-hand side, the English translation from halacha.org, which is the Sansino translation, on the left-hand side. Tanya, Rabbi Omer. Ezuhi derech yishara sheyavar lo adam. He says the same exact question. What is the path that a person should choose? And what's his answer? So you would expect it to be kol shi tiferes osev tiferes lo min adam, like he said in Perkei Avos, but it's not. He says something different. The answer is, what is it? Yahev es hatochachos. You should love rebuke. What does that mean? You should love criticism. Well, you could say it in one of two ways. What does that mean? You should love, right. Should you love giving it criticism? Should you love getting criticism? We'll actually see there's a slight debate on that. But there's something about criticism that we should love. What does this have to do with Tiferes Lo Min HaAdam or not? That seems to be two separate statements that have nothing to do with each other. So continuing in the Gemara here, Shekol Zman Shetochachos Ba'olam, anytime there is rebuke in the world, Nachas Ruach Ba'al Olam, there is good and blessing comes to the world. Tovo Bracha Ba'al Olam, there's a lot of good stuff going on because of all the rebuke that goes on, and evil departs from the world, and we quote a pasuk for that. And the Gemara continues in the next line, v'yesh omrim. There are those that say, not that it is about rebuke, but rather Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi tells us what the path that we should choose. V'yesh omrim yachzik be'emuna yisera. You should have lots of faith, lots of belief in God, and there's some psukim that bear that out as well. And the Gemara continues on the next line. Amar Bishmo Bar Nachmeni, Amar Biyonasan, Kol Mochiach Es Chaver. So forget about faith for now. Let's go back to rebuke because that's more fun. Kol Mochiach Es Chaver L'Shem Shemayim. If you rebuke your friend for the sake of heaven, Zoche L'Chalako Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Chalko Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you merit the peace or the portion with God. Shneh Mar, we quote a pasuk for that. Below Ode Elish Moshkin Alav, you get this string, this thread of chesed. So rebuking here specifically doesn't mean taking rebuke, but rather it means giving rebuke is awesome. This is amazing. We love giving rebuke. And if you have one path that you want to choose in life according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, here in the Gemara and Tamid, it is rebuke, 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 rebuke. Okay? How does everybody feel about this? Okay, good. So there is a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that, which is interesting. We'll see that in a few minutes. Which is actually, anybody know? This week's upcoming parsha, Parshas Kedoshim. Okay, so we have in Yonah Dioma relevant to the parsha of the week. So we'll get there. So let's broaden the question, right? What do we think about rebuke nowadays anyway? How do we like rebuke? Nobody really likes getting rebuke, and do we really promote that much of giving rebuke? Not much. You do lose friends. So there's two main things that we're going to think about as we go through the sources. Number one is, what place does rebuke have in our world today? And is that different than the place that rebuke had back in the times of the Gemara? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling us that it is the, you know, very important road to choose in life. The one road you should choose is rebuke. So that's one question we're going to have, just in terms of the relevance and the significance to us. But the second question that we're going to be having is more in terms of, how does this fit with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seemed to say that the path to choose is one that brings glory to yourself or to God, and bring glory to other people. So is this similar, different? Is it two separate things that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said? So these are the two questions, both in terms of just how it deals with our Mishnah, and number two, how we apply it to ourselves. So we're going to start with the... How do you define tochacha versus musar? What is musar? Okay, so what we need to do to answer that question is learn all of Mishlei. What?
To teach the right way.
Okay, so is rebuke not teaching the right way? So are we defining our terms correctly, right? Does rebuke mean criticism, or does rebuke maybe mean guidance? Right? So maybe we have just the wrong conception of what rebuke is. It depends on how you deliver the rebuke. Okay, good. So these are... It depends on the person getting the rebuke, because you have to know your audience. Okay, so these are all good things to think about as we talk about and we think about the application. Good. So keep that in mind. Let's go to source number two. Before we get to application, let's just talk in terms of how this fits with our... Try to understand the sources on their own before the application side. So Rashi here in the Gemara and Tumit says, Ezumi derech yishar shiyavar lo ha'adam. So keep in mind the question that we asked... What does it mean, shiyavor? I think we asked this maybe a few weeks ago. What does it mean, shiyavor? To choose. Does that mean that there's more than one path and I can just choose, you know, pick your own adventure, if you will? So Rashi says, yes. Ezu yidarach b'shar shiyavor lo adam.
I thought we were saying is yivkar. We don't see this word used to a...
Shiyavor means to select. So let's see Rashi. Harbeid varim sarach lo adam livkor. That's what Rashi says. There are lots of things that a person has to choose. Ela hachi kamar. Ezvi derech ata achas midrachim ha'isharim shiyavar lo adam. What is one of the many paths? So it's not that there's only one path. There are many paths. So what is one of the many paths that you can choose? So don't think that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying this is the only path. This is the only thing you can do. It's one of many. And then notice that Rashi here, when he talks about the pasuk that's quoted, Tov. So he comments, Adam shemikabel tochacha yinaim benachas ruach bala olam. So he understands at least that section of the Gemara, not in terms of the person giving rebuke, but in terms of the person accepting rebuke, that there's a lesson for us in terms of when somebody gives us criticism and rebuke, how do we take it? Most of us don't take it so well. So if you want to bring peace unto the world, when somebody gives you rebuke, take it well. Okay, and there is a lesson, by the way, which I didn't think that we're going to talk about today, and perhaps we won't, but we'll save it for a different time, is how do we take rebuke? Right? When somebody gives us rebuke, how are we supposed to take it? What sort of mindset do we have when somebody gives us rebuke? We're going to save that for a different time.
Constructive criticism.
Right, so constructive criticism is... Well, so good. So does when the Torah says hocheach tocheach es amisacha, does it mean not constructive criticism? Presumably it means, at least, again, maybe this is a modern spin on it, presumably it means constructive criticism. One of the things, I guess I'll mention it briefly, a lot of times I talk to people about how when you get constructive criticism, even, right? So for all of us who have received constructive criticism, so how do you feel when you receive constructive criticism?
You want to respond physically.
You want to respond physically, right? Okay. Somebody has to give that man some rebuke. Okay. So the question, how do you respond even with constructive criticism? Usually people feel bad even after they get constructive criticism. So there's just that doesn't itself mean anything. Maybe you're supposed to feel bad even if it's constructive, but it doesn't mean you don't try to repair it. But actually, I want to get off that because we're not talking today about receiving. We're talking about giving. So let's hold off on that for a second. Continuing with source number 3, this is the Be'er Sheva commentary on the Masechus Tamid, and we're about to now explicitly tie this into our Mishnah and Abbas. So the Be'er Sheva says as follows, Yehevis Atochachos, V'hadlo chashiv hach bahadi enach da'amar rebi v'reish perak avos da'avos, perak beis da'avos. So how come these two, namely rebuke and faith, aren't mentioned in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that we are doing? So why is it not mentioned? Right? It seems to be a contradiction. So what's his answer? Shema Yesh Lomar, perhaps we can answer. Tana V'Shir. What does Tana V'Shir mean?
He left it out.
It wasn't an exhaustive list. Rami Yehuda Nasi says, what is the way, what is the path here in Pirkei Avos? Not only is he assuming there's multiple paths, he himself knows of and recommends other paths, but this wasn't an exhaustive list. He wasn't writing his dissertation here on all the right paths that you can take. He was giving you one thing. His one thing was, it should be Tiferes Lo Min HaAdam, Tiferes Lo Sev, Tiferes Lo Min HaAdam. But if he had more time, if they would have given him more, you know, his assignment was 200 words or less, and he had a lot of things to say, so he had to keep out some of the stuff. So if he had more time, if he had more space, he would have written more. That's what Tana V'Shir means. He believes this, but he just didn't write it here. He had more to say, but he kept it to himself. Okay, at least at that point in time. That's what the Be'er Sheva says. The Marsha says something differently. Source number 4. Ezri Derech Yishar Shavar Lo Adam, Perish Rashi, Harbed Dvar Nisharim. So Rashi says, he quotes, we saw this Rashi, that there are lots of different paths that you can take. Ella Ezri Derech Echad Midarech Yisharim. What's one of the paths that you could take? Ad Kam Lashono. The Marsha reflects on Rashi's comments and says, V'hu Dachuk. What is V'hu Dachuk? It's force. It's a forced interpretation. He doesn't like Rashi's explanation. V'hu Dachuk. D'mai ka'amar v'yesh omer m'yachzik be'emuna da'tanakam anami sferile d'yesh drachim yisharim harbe. V'nir ali d'rebi hu mara d'shmaisa d'tanik masis v'perek avos d'ezvi derach yishar shabal adam. I'll explain in a second. Kol shi t'feres l'sev t'feres l'sev adam. So he connects us here to our mission in Pirkei Avos. Dahainu shua derach hatov la'atzmo v'noach l'brios. Bahamas nisen kai. So this is the important line. What does that mean? Baha masnisen kai. What does that mean? He's going on this Mishnah. So the Marsha is saying that he's actually both of these, not that there's two different things and Rebbe's saying one over here and one over there. He's saying that they're explaining each other. They're both connected to each other. The aha masnisen kai. This is a reflection on the Mishnah. What does that mean? How do we put these two things together? The aha masnisen kai umefarish lahacha v'braisa. So here he's explaining in the braisa, in the Gemara, in Tamid. So source number 2 is explaining source number 1. So what's the explanation? De'ezo oso derech shu noach v'tiferes la'atzmo ulebrios. What is the path that brings honor to yourself and to others? V'ka'amar Tanakama, the explanation of that is Oav Esatochachos, to love giving rebuke, Lochiach Ha-Brios, presumably that's a typo, Ha-Bidios, which is probably Ha-Brios, Demitoch Shemek, I copy and paste this from Bar Ilan, so I do not take credit for that typo. I make lots of mistakes, but that was copied and pasted, so blame the Bar Ilan CD, unless I'm just reading it wrong now, but presumably that should be Habrios. Demitok shemekablen hatochachos, I just rebuked Bar Ilan, I'm sorry. Demitok shemekablen hatochachos, v'chos v'lamutav, nachas ruach bala olam. From the fact that we give tochachos, and that people presumably will then listen to that, so good things are going to come to the world, behind the tiferes olam and ha'adam, you're going to help improve other people as well. So what is, so again, just to recap, what is, how is the Maharsha explaining this? He's saying that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, this goes back to what we spoke about last week. How vague is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in our Mishnah? He's incredibly vague. What's the path that you should take? The path that you should take brings glory to yourself and brings glory to others. Okay, well, that's not really telling me much.
That's the end point.
Right. So the question is, what the Maharsha is saying is that the Gemara in Tumid is now telling you more information. What is this path that brings glory to yourself and brings glory to others? Rebuke them. Okay? Critique. Constructive criticism. Let's call it that. Okay, so that's the Maharsha. According to the Vereshava, no, these are two independent things. And in one source he's telling you one, and in the other source he's telling you the other. Here, no, the Maharsha says it's an explanation. Okay, so apparently, again, I think just this highlights the practical application that we'll have to get to, is that this seems strange. Rebuking is what brings glory to myself and brings glory to other people. Okay, so we'll have to understand this a little bit better. Source number 5. This, if it is true that all Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling us is rebuke, this highlights the question that we asked last week. Why do I need Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to tell this to me? It's a pasuk. Source number 5 is a pasuk in Kedoshim. Lo sisnas achicha dol bavecha. Do not hate your friend in your heart. Tocheach tocheach es amisacha. You shall surely rebuke your friend. Lo sisa alav chet. And do not bear sin. Now, the pasuk just... Excuse me? So that's a good question. This is a very a fascinating pasuk because there's apparently three things here, and the question is, are these three things connected to each other? Right? A is right. This is awesome because this is exactly what we do in Pirkei Avos. You have the same thing with Pesukim. You have three discussions. You have three things put together in the same Mishnah, and we're trying to analyze, are these things connected? Same thing with the Pasuk. You have three things in this Pasuk. Are these three things connected, or are they just three random things? When it comes to the Torah, we're very much more likely to say these are not three random things. There's more connection between the three. So, lo sisnas achicha levecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke him, no sin. So who's this? Who's not sinning? Right, so all the Mepharshim are going to come to the rescue and try to explain it to us. We're not going to go through all the Mepharshim now because this is not a Chumash class. But we will see one in a second. If you flip the page, let's just see source number 6, and then I'll take a question. So source number 6 is the Ramban. The Ramban says, and again, this is one opinion. There's so many other ways to understand this. So he says it's mitzvah acheres. Why is that? Why is he saying mitzvah acheres? It's a separate mitzvah. Presumably he's saying it's disconnected from the lo sisnas achicha bo vavecha, which was clause A. Clause B is a mitzvah acher. So chayach tochiach is a mitzvah acheres. Lelamdo tochachas moser, to teach us the concept of giving moser, to giving guidance, rebuke, etc. Lo sisa lav chet, Shiye alecha asham kasher yechta velo hochachta oso. If you do not rebuke, what's going to end up happening? Who's going to get the sin? It's going to be your fault. Because you didn't rebuke. You could have prevented this sin by saying something. You didn't. Now the sin's on you. So that's how the Ramban understands the sin. Okay? So that's crazy. That's crazy. So now again, we're just building the question. This isn't just like rebuke is a nice idea. Not rebuking, there's a lot on the line here. I'm responsible for my friend's sin. Arevut. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zel Lazeh. We're all responsible for each other. And if that's true, I have a mitzvah. And then on the flip side, in Avera, if I don't, to impact you to not do that mitzvah as best
as everybody else's mitzvah?
Sure. if you had something to do with it. Right? If you had something to do with it. Okay. So what's that? Baruch HaTov and Amachon Shachon Bevaro. Is that fair? So now we're asking good questions. It's so far, I don't see any. There are different words being used here. What's amitecha? Does amitecha mean friend? Well, achicha was for the first half. Now we're switching it from achicha to amitacha. So maybe we're broadening it out a little bit. This is for everybody. I'm responsible for everybody, right? Just to give a story for this. So there was I might have shared this story before. When I was a lot younger, I was once in Kosher Delights, Aleph Shalom, and I must have been like 8 or 9 years old, and I was. I was not wearing tzitzis. And some random guy comes up to me and does like the tzitzis check on me, which I'll probably get arrested for. So he's like feeling to see if I was wearing. It's like, are you wearing tzitzis? And I said, no. And he says, you should wear tzitzis. He rebuked me. And some random, this wasn't my friend, wasn't he? And then... I'll stop the story over there of what happened next. He was right. My mother wasn't there. My father was there. So it's a different story. So the question is again, we're not going to answer these questions yet. But we're just building the problem. How does this apply? If I have a mitzvah and an avera for not. How do I figure this out? How do I deal with this? How do I navigate it? Quickly, yeah.
It's problematic because we live in a different time and people won't react. They can't take money. In those days, people were in a high madrega, and if you rebuke them, they were actually able to make amends. But in our time, people can't take rebuke. My father was a rabbi, and if he saw something, he used to give shtroshes. He used to say, this, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know what happened?
People
left the shul. Then they went somewhere else.
Right.
Then after a while, they came back. Why? Because the other rabbi said something.
This is the problem, and that's getting back to the question. Does this change nowadays? Is there a difference? I'm not even sure how much greater everybody was back then, right? We sort of can create that narrative that everybody back then was great at taking rebuke, but now everybody stinks at taking rebuke. I would argue that, and you look through Mishlei, you'll see the same thing, is that, and we're about to see it in a second, actually, let's look at source number 7, the next source, Pasuk in Mishlei, Al tochach leitz pen yisnaaka, hocheach l'chacham v'yaveka. Don't reprove the scorner because he's going to hate you. Reprove a wise man and he'll love you. So there's different types of people. There's some people who can take rebuke. There's some people who can't take rebuke. And if they can't take rebuke, Mishlei here says explicitly, then don't rebuke them. Right? So now we already have a practical, a functional idea here that it's not just about, I have to get this off my chest. Right? No, there has to be some, is it going to help or is it not going to help? If it's not going to help, Shlomo Melch says, don't do it. The pasuk doesn't give you that detail. The pasuk doesn't distinguish between whether or not they're going to take it or not take it, depending on how you understand the lo sis alav chet, which we'll get to in a minute. Yes, Arita, and then we're going to move forward.
There's something missing here. What we're not talking about.
Lots of things missing here. Okay.
What's just so glaringly omitted here from the beginning? It's telling you to rebuke. What are you rebuking? What are you doing? And what gives you the authority to rebuke? Any person on the tree can say, you're not wearing tzitzis. Is it only mitzvos? Is it mitzvos? What is it exactly that you have that you're doing?
Fair question.
What gives you the authority to do it? So we're already going to stage number two, that rebuke. But what is it that you are able to rebuke, and who are you to rebuke?
So what are you able to rebuke, and who are you? What position do you hold in order to do that? Again, it's missing from so far the discussion because it's not said anywhere. It doesn't say that. The pasuk doesn't say hocheach tocheach if you have X, Y, or Z qualifications. It just says do it, right? Now, so now let's give a drash for a second on this past week's parshios. So there's a concept of. When I see some sort of saras on somebody else, right? So what's the message about critiquing and seeing, pointing out somebody else's faults? What's the fit? Right.
One is to criticize that impact that it might have by causing.
So let's say I have the same problem. Well, that too. But let's say I have the same problem. Right? There's a concept called mum shebecha al tomar lechaberecha. So if I have the same problem, you're talking about qualifications. So like I speak so much lashon hara, but you speak lashon hara. I you're really doing something wrong. right? So there is a there is a problem with not everybody should be doing it. But again, right as of right now, there's no qualifications. Let's keep going. All these questions are great. Keep them. Think about them. Keep moving. Source number 8, the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos doesn't take such a hard line. You do find other hard line approaches, which we're going to see in the Rambam in a minute. But the Gemara in Yevamos softens it a little bit and says, So Amar Rabbi Eli, Mishum Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Kishem Shemitzvah Adam Lomar Davar Anishma, just like it is a mitzvah for me to say something that somebody will hear, meaning the rebuke will be taken. It's a mitzvah for me to do that. Kach mitzvah al adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. It is a mitzvah for me to. It's a mitzvah for me to say something if I know it's not going to be heard. If I know the person's not going to listen, then it's a mitzvah for me not to say it. So now all of a sudden we're backing down a little bit. We're going from this hard line. You have to rebuke. It's your responsibility. You're at fault if he does something. To okay. Let's think about how well you're going to be able to do this. And if you're not going to be able to do it well, back down, and you're not allowed to even. It's a mitzvah, excuse me, for you not to do it. And Rabbi Abba, continuing here, Rabbi Abba Omer Chova, Shnamar, so he says not just that it's a mitzvah for you not to. Mitzvah sounds like it's okay. You don't have to say anything, but if you want to, if he's not going to listen to you, you could. So Rabbi Abba says, no, it's a chova, meaning chova not to say anything if he's not going to listen, because of our pasuk in Mishlei, al tochach leitz pen yisnek. It's a definitive statement. Do not, you don't have to, do not rebuke if they're not going to listen to you. Okay? So that's Rabbi Ilah, and that's Rabbi Abba. Okay, so we have a bunch of different sources. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to put it all together. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam is going to bring a lot of things together and possibly make it more confusing, but hopefully we'll be able to straighten things out a little bit quickly, and then we'll read the Rambam. Yeah.
The Rambam is saying it's more personal. If somebody does something bad to you, you can talk to him and you can tell him exactly what he did wrong. It's not in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so good. So you bring up a good point. When we think about practicality, as well as what these psukim and these mishnayos and the gemaras are telling us, does this mean that I see somebody just doing an aver, it has no connection to me, it has nothing relevant to me, but I see it, so I have to say something? Or is it that you did something wrong to me? Right? You did something wrong to me, and I want to assert myself, I want to tell you that you did something wrong. Now that's going to connect to the pasuk of lo sisna sachicha bil vavecha. Right, so los nisa, that's the beginning of the pasuk. Don't hate your fellow in your heart. The Rambam says, therefore, hochiach tochiach esa amisacha. You have to let it out. You have to communicate it, because if you hold it in and you let it bubble and fester, then that's a problem. But you have to be able to communicate. So that's a more personal approach. Good point. But let's see, there's a lot more in the Rambam that we're going to see in a second.
I still don't understand how he's going to have a glory from it.
Okay, so let's wait. Good question. Ask it at the end if we don't answer. Are you rebukable? You have to wear a sign. I am rebukable. Okay, so there has to be some sort of wisdom here, and good, we'll get this. Let's see the Rambam. Source number 9. This is Hilchos Deos, chapter 6, Halacha 6, 7, 8, and 9. I'm not sure we're going to get through all of them, but let's see what we can do. We'll read through it quickly. You have the English here from Chabad.org. It has an entire Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam in English. It's a great resource, free online. So feel free, if we go too quickly to follow everything right now, feel free to review. So the Mishnah says, the Rambam says here in Halacha 6, I'll read the Hebrew and translate, Kishayechta ish le'ish, lo yistemenu v'yishto. So the Rambam, here's the personal approach. When somebody sins ish to ish, so this doesn't mean that I see you not wearing tzitzis necessarily. This means that you did something wrong to me. Kishayechta ish le'ish, lo yistemenu. You shouldn't remain silent, you shouldn't refrain from talking, hold it in. K'moshen emar b'rishayim b'lo yidah b'rav shalom es amnon me'uma le'mara v'ad tov ki son av shalom es amnon. Right, so he held it in that story in Shmuel Bet, and that's not good. El mitzvah alav lo dio. I should tell you, if you did something wrong, if I have a grievance with you, I should say it to you. V'lomar lo lama sisa li kach v'kach. Why did you do this to me? Why did you do this? Why did you sin towards me with this thing that you did? That's the pasuk when it says rebuke. That's what it's talking about. So you made your plea. You said you hurt me. Now the person says, I'm sorry. So now the responsibility is like a ping pong match. Now it's back on you. So you can't now play the game. I'm sorry, I'm not forgiving you. You have to say, you're obligated to forgive. You said your piece, they did their piece, you forgive. And the person shouldn't be stubborn and mean and cruel. You have to be able to forgive. So now, again, there's lots of, this is a broader question. I'm not getting into somebody who, as of right now, somebody who seriously did something wrong, that sort of ruined your life type of thing. Maybe that takes a little bit more processing before we get to just like quick forgiveness. But let's just assume we're talking about our normal level types of grievances between people. Yeah, I think so. You have to look it up. Check it up. It's your homework. Extra credit. Halacha Zayin. So source number, next section over here. Haroach Haveru Shechatz. Now we're changing the story. So until now, it was you sinned against me. Now the Rambam says, I see you sinning. Haroach Haveru Shechatz o shehalach b'derech lo tova. So to answer your question, right? This is either I see you sinning or I see you going down the wrong path. Right? A more Musar type of idea. More... just not a good thing. I can't tie it to a specific sin. You're just going in the wrong direction. Mitzvah lahachziro lemutav. It is a mitzvah for me to return you to the good path, if only is that easy. Ulahodio shehu chote. I have to establish, I have to tell you that you are sinning. Chote al atzma b'masav harayim. Sinning to yourself with the bad things that you're doing. Shenemar ocheach tocheach hasamisecha. So the Rambam says the same pasuk means two different things. The pasuk means rebuke interpersonally, you hurt me, and it also means rebuke if I see you doing something wrong or going down the wrong path. He uses the same pasuk for both messages. So somebody who rebukes, whether it's between you and me or whether it's between you and God, so now we're starting to get to some rules. When do you rebuke? Privately. This isn't a public embarrassment. This isn't a public shaming. This is a private discussion that you have with the person. Number two, via daber lo benachas, to speak nicely. With a lashon racha, soft spoken, soft words. V'yodiyu she'eno omer lo ela tovaso. I'm doing this for your benefit. I'm not here. This isn't a personal grievance necessarily that I feel like I have to get at you, I have to make you feel bad. No, this is for your own good. I want you to get olam haba. Im kiba mimenu mutav. So if he accepts this soft-spoken, private conversation that you're doing for his own benefit, great. Vim lav, here we get interesting. Let's say he doesn't accept it. So do you give up? No. Yochichenu pam shnia. Vishlishes. Hochiach tochiach. Over and over and over again. Second time. Third time. V'chein tamir chayav adam achicho. Ad. So what's my stopping point? When do I know I've gone too far? Ad shiakeu achote. V'yomer lo eno shemei. He smacks you. Says, I'm not listening to you. Now you know. Now you know. Okay. I'll get it. I'll stop. V'chol she'efshar biyado limchos ve'no mocha. Who nispas the avon elu kevon she'efshar limchos pam. If I had the opportunity and I didn't take it, then I'm responsible as well. So on the one hand, the Rambam's softening it a little bit. He's telling us this is the proper way to do it. On the other hand, he's increasing the problem because he's saying that I have to keep doing it until the guy hits me. Right? That's what he says. I don't know if he meant it literally. Maybe if the person says... again, there's stages here. The first stage is he doesn't listen to you. What does that mean he doesn't listen to you? Does he doesn't listen to you mean that he just doesn't follow your orders? Or does it mean that he says explicitly, I'm not listening to you? So it's not clear within what the Rambam says. It's based on a Gemara, by the way. The Gemara says something similar. You keep going until the guy hits you. And that's what the Rambam says. That's what you have to do. So now, keep going. We're not done yet. Source. Maybe you get. Right. But that it doesn't mean you can't, like, you know, move away. It's not like, you know, it's like, come on, hit me so I can stop. You know. hold on one second. Let's keep going.
Right.
So we're not done yet. Let's keep going. So source number 8 and 9 here. Sorry, it's not source number 8. It's Halacha 8 and 9. So it's continuing in the Rambam here. You should be now on the second page. Third side, second, different page. Everybody sees it? It's two boxes. Or four boxes. Two text. Top of the page on the left on the English says at first. Yeah, it has Hebrew and English. Okay, so the Halacha 8 here. Hamochiach es chavero tchila lo yedaber lo kashos ad sheyach limenu. Shenemar v'lo sisa lav chet. So a person who admonishes a colleague should not speak to him harshly until he becomes embarrassed, right? So you shouldn't do this to the point where the person's embarrassed. Shenemar v'lo sisa lav chet. Now it's getting back to the point, Barbara, that you pointed out before. This is the third clause in the pasuk. So hochiach tochiach, rebuke. And don't commit a sin. So who's not committing the sin? The Ramban said, who's the one you would be taking on the sin because they would be sinning and you didn't have the chance? Ramban interprets it slightly differently here. Who's the sin? The sin's still on me, but what's the sin?
Embarrassing
them. So hochiach tocheach, but don't commit a sin by embarrassing them. So the Ramban's very careful here, don't embarrass the person. Maybe you can rebuke them, the Chazal say, and that their face will change colors, meaning they'll be embarrassed. You cannot embarrass them, you cannot commit a sin. You would commit the sin by embarrassing them. Notice, you can't embarrass them privately either. He says, all the more so in public. But if what I'm about to do is going to embarrass you, even if it's just between me and you, then I can't do that. It's a fine line. We don't know. We got to be careful. Right? So we're still building here. We're not done. These are all good questions. We used to have a sign for that too. Like, I will not be embarrassed. So afal pisha hamachlim eschavero eno loka alav avon gadolu. So even though embarrassing somebody, you don't get punishment of lashes for it, it's still a huge, tremendous sin to embarrass somebody. Kach amru chachamim amalim pnei chavero b'rabim ein lo chelek lo olam haba. If you embarrass your friend in public, then you have no share in the world to come. L'fichach tzarech adon lizar shol levayish chavero b'rabim bein katon bein gadol. Doesn't matter. This is very, very strong. Doesn't matter if it's a katan or a gadol. Right? How many times do people embarrass children in public because they feel like they have the right to embarrass? My kid, I can't embarrass. No. Right? You can't. Teachers for sure. Right? Below yikra lo b'shem shehu bosh mimenu. You cannot call names which are going to embarrass the person. Nicknames is a big problem if it's embarrassing. You can't say something that's going to make them embarrassed, even if you're not talking necessarily about them or to them, but it's speaking in front of them is going to embarrass them. Aval. So here's your caveat. That's only with interpersonal relationships. Aval bidivrei shamayim. There's a dangerous line here, at least for contemporary times, and we'll get to this as we build. But at least according to the Rambam, he says here that if it's a bin adam lemakom thing, somebody is, there's a public denigration of God, and the person's not listening to your private rebuke, then you can bring out all your guns and embarrass them in public, right? Like Nevi'im, the whole concept of Nevi'im is rebuking, right? So we're not Navi's, so there's no heter here. Don't like take this to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram right now and say like, oh, they're sinning publicly, I can say whatever I want. But at least in theory, as a concept, assuming we knew what we were doing with rebuke, at a certain point in time, there is a permission to rebuke in public, even if it's embarrassing. Halacha tes, we'll just finish off the Rambam. Misha chata alav tavera v'lo ratz alav chicho v'lo l'daber lo klum. So now, what if somebody does embarrass me, or somebody does hurt me, somebody does sin against me, but I don't want to rebuke them? We started off by saying, you have to rebuke. What if I don't want to rebuke? So why don't I want to rebuke? So you have to give it to them. So the Rambam says, maybe not. Why? He's an idiot. I don't know if that's fair. I don't like calling people names. But he's not going to listen, right? This is the late of Shlomo HaMelech, right? Al Tochech Leitz, Pensech. This is the late. The person's not going to listen to me. He's a simple person. He's not going to listen. Osha Haisa Daito Mishubeshes. He's confused. He's not going to understand. Umachalo Belibo. So now, there's a big important caveat here, the Rambam says. I have to fully forgive the person. The low Satmo Belo Hochicho Harezu Midas Chasidus. So if I can come to the point where if I think the person's not going to listen to the rebuke, but I need to work on myself, and it actually makes it harder on me to forgive the person regardless. Because remember, according to the Rambam, the lo sisnas achicha b'vavecha, don't hate the person in your heart, is connected to ocheach tochiach. The way that I stop hating somebody is by communicating assertively to them. So if I'm saying that communication is not going to work because the person's not going to listen to me, it makes it harder on me because now I have to work on forgiving even without that communication. Otherwise, I'd violate the lo sisnas achicha b'vavecha. Harezu midas chasidus. Great, you can do that. That's a pious move. Lo hakpeda lo ikpeda Torah ella al hamastema. What does the Torah want to get rid of? At least from the bein adam lachavero aspect, the sinna, the hate. The way to get rid of hate, the Rambam says, is by communicating. You don't want to communicate because you don't think it's going to work. Then you still got to get rid of the hate on your own. Okay, so that's how the Rambam leaves off this section on rebuke. Flip the page one more time to the last side. We're going to do one more contemporary idea when it comes to tochach and rebuke, and then we're going to finish off this side with tying it back to Perkei Avos, and if we have time, that last sheet that I just gave you, the color handout will go through, or at least you can take it with you. Let's see what we can do. So source number 10 is the famous Chazon Ish. Actually, coincidentally quoted this in the Thursday night shiur from a totally different perspective. But the Chazon Ish here, source number 10, Yoredei, this was written around less than 100 years ago. So this is more contemporary than the Rambam, which is 800-900 years ago. So the Chazon Ish says as follows. It's a little bit hard to read, but we'll try. Bechelek Aleph Eben Ha'ezer Nashim Simen Kuf Yud Ches Kasavnu Ladas Haga'onim De'ein Mumar Zokek Li'ibum Kol Oso Shedino Kamin Le'inyon Shchita Eino Zokuk Li'ibum. So we have a problem here. So there's so many people in the world, which is not great, who don't really follow the Torah. Right? They're Jewish, they don't follow the Torah. They're even more strongly against it. They're anti-religious. They're atheists. So what do we do about that in terms of halachos? There are certain halachos that only, quote-unquote, frum people can do. And these people are not frum. So what do we do about yibum when they have to, if their brother dies and have to marry the sister-in-law, but they're a mumar, they don't follow the rules. Let's say shchita, somebody who's a mumar, doesn't follow the rules, does shchita. So what is that? How does that apply to our halachos? What does that do? So the Chazon Ish here says, Kasab Nusham, the mumar Ladabar Achad, Lahakis O Kofar Bitar Shabbat Pebekhlal Zeh. So if there's one thing in the Torah that you really, really don't like, and that's the thing that you say, I don't believe in that, so that's a big problem. Or if you're somebody who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, like the Tzedukim or the Karaites, they only believe in the written Torah, not the oral Torah. About Lamashin is Bar La'el, Ain Mumar Lahakis Ladabar Achad Bechlal Zeh. Rak Birodef Achar Isser. Ladas Hara'ah, v'chein kofar b'torah shabbat peh, dafka b'kofar gam b'ikar ol ha-mitzvos, v'od yesh b'zet tznai. Okay, so here's the important part here. So again, we're trying to understand what these categories of people are. So he says there's another condition here. Shloya onus. This person can't be forced. What does that mean, forced? K'mo shekasav ha-rambam, perek gimel, behilchos mamrim, halacha gimel, So you had people who were part of the religious fold, and they said, I'm not part of this anymore. I don't want to be a part of this. That's one level. But there's an onus level. What about their kids and their grandkids? They don't even know any better. They weren't raised like this, that they should know that I should be, you know, follow these rules and follow these laws. So that's considered onus. They're forced. They have no choice. It's not their fault. Right? But tinok shenishba, maybe korban, or somebody who grew up and they were captive as a kid. They grew up somewhere else. They didn't know what it meant to be religious. They're not considered as part of these sort of mumar categories. Maybe korban kedamar reishpak klal gadol umitzuvin anu lahachiyosa. We have to make sure that they're alive and well. Va'af l'chal lava Shabbos b'shvil atzalaso. If they're sick or dying on Shabbos, we're machalo Shabbos for them. We want to save their lives. V'hagos maimnes perak vav mehilchos deos kasa de'ain rishayin lisna oso. You can't even hate them. Ela acher she'ena makabel tochacha. When can you hate them if they don't receive the rebuke? Because here's where rebuke comes in. V'sof sefer avas chesed kasa b'shem agri molin. So now the avas chesed is a chafetz chaim. So the chafetz chaim quotes, de mitzvah le'ehov es harishayim. It is a mitzvah to love wicked people. That's a powerful statement. Mitzvah le'ehov es harishayim. Vehebi came in Chuvas Maharam Lublin. Ketzlenu hu kodem tochacha. She'ein anu yodin lochiyach. Because all of these rishayim, all of these quote-unquote wicked people, sort of our fault. Why is it sort of our fault? Don't take all the blame for this. Because we can't rebuke them. We don't know how to rebuke them. That's a huge line. She'ein anu yodin lochiyach. We just don't know what to do. We try as hard as we can. We don't know how to rebuke. V'dayninan lehu ke'anus, and therefore it's as if they are anus. And then there's practical ramifications for how that deals with halachos. But for us, the important part here is that we don't know how to rebuke. There are so many people out there that we just don't know how to deal with it. So therefore, they lose some of their culpability. We can't hate them because of their rishayim, because we don't even know how to make them tzaddikim. So therefore, it's not really their full fault. Yeah.
It's a new story about the Chafetz Chaim.
Okay, quick, yeah.
The rabbi told this story.
Yeah.
There was in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva, somebody smoked a cigarette on Shabbos. So he was called into the Chafetz Chaim's office, and he held his hand, and he was crying, the Chafetz Chaim, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Tears went on his hand, burned his hand with the hot tears from the Chafetz Chaim. And he went outside, he was never in Chal Shabbos, he became a Tzadik Gadol. So I just said, how do you know it? It was in his office. I was the boy. That's
wow.
The story.
Okay.
I was the boy.
Right. How
to rebuke?
Right, so there is, okay, so now let's set up the question this way now. Now that we've come to the opposite extreme, did we just get rid of the whole mitzvah of tochacha? Right, is just totally gone. We don't know how to rebuke, so we're done. Give up, nothing to do. So hopefully not. So that's what I want to close off with. Look at source number 11. The Maharal Tzintz, this is before the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Aryeh Leib Zuntz, 19th century Europe. She Tiferes Lo Sesa, now bringing it back to Perkei Avos. So Perkei Avos, it says, Meseches Tamid, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara and Tamid, which how we started off, creating the problem. Rebbe says, the Derech Yishav Asher Rebbe L'Adam is Tochachos. Klamar Shinag Lo Chiyach Eskadar, I have to rebuke my friend, Im Yasu Averos, if he does sins. Ach Yesh Lavar, Shashnei Adzorim Hem In Yinacha. So he says, these are the same thing. The one hand, our Mishnah Perkei Avos says you should be tiferes lo mina for yourself, lo seb, tiferes lo mina adam, and the Gemara in Talmud that says love rebuke, they're the same thing. How is it the same thing? Ki Rebbe Amar shahad derech hayishar hi la'el v'satochachos, the straight path is to love rebuking. Ach b'mishnasenu hu mevar v'ezaderech alav lochiyach, but now not there is the flip of what we saw before. Right? Just to review, we had two ways so far to resolve this idea, these two contradictory Mishnayos. One is that they're just two separate ideas, and one he says this, and the other he says this. And the other is to say, no, they're connected, but one is explaining the other. What does that mean, one is explaining the other? So what did we see until this point? Which one is explaining the other one? If you remember, this was source number 4, the Maharsha said which one was explaining the other. Was the Mishnah and Avos explaining Tamid, or was Tamid explaining the Mishnah and Avos?
Tamid
was explaining Avos, meaning, what does it mean that I should love rebuke? Now, what does it mean? No. Yeah, what does it mean that I should follow the path that is good for myself and good for others? The path is rebuke. He flips it on the other side. It's that the Mishnah in Avos is explaining the Mishnah in Tamid. How is it that I'm supposed to give rebuke? How is it that I'm supposed to give rebuke? It has to be that the rebuke is Tiferes for you and Tiferes for the other person. What does that mean? Again, read this inside. Ki Rabbi Amar Shad Derech Hayishara Hi Levos HaTochachos Ach B'Mishnasenu Hu Mivaer. The Mishnah Perkei Avos is explaining Be'eza Derech Alav Lochiach. How do you give rebuke? Ki Efshar Lochiach Hayidei Amiras Dvarim Kashim Uvotim. There's a way to give rebuke that's harsh. Be'efshar Lochiach B'Derech Ni'ima Lo Nash Adam Mechubad Kamocha Yaseh Aver Kazu. There's a way to rebuke in an appropriate, pleasant way. It's not befitting for somebody as respectable as you to behave in this way. That's the tiferes, to do it in a nice way. Be'er Rebbe HaDerech HaYishara HiZu SheTiferes LoSeh. It's only the way, the straight path, the right path to give tochacha has to be that it creates glory. Kishemitzvas HaTochachi Tiferes LeMochiach HaMochiach B'Darchei Noam. So it's good for me. Why is it good for me giving tochacha? Because I'm doing it in a pleasant way. I'm not getting angry about this, and it wouldn't be good for me if I'm getting angry about it. If I'm doing it pleasantly, then it's darkei noam, it's tiferes for me. I'm not going to get angry and hate. That would be bad for me. It's good for me. This is that one line on the third page, if you have it. And it's also good for the other person because now he doesn't hate me. So this is what it means to rebuke. It has to be good for you. It has to be good for them. It has to be goodwill. It has to be positive emotions. There's no hatred on either side of the aisle. That's what it means to rebuke in the appropriate way. Yeah?
I just want to say something in terms of the word mochiach. Tokaha is lochiach, it's to prove. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the English translation, each of the English translations says to reprove,
right,
or reprove. It's not saying rebuke. I want to correct that word.
Right. Okay.
I think rebuke engenders in each of us a negative connotation. The word tokaha, you use it with essential meaning as hochachot, prove. Uh-huh. And whoever translated the English did a good job. Never use rebuke,
right.
Use reprove. Everybody could look through. And I think that's the difference. When you are giving someone whatever it's called, tochacha, I think the word, the Torah uses the tochacha, not nizifa, which is rebuke.
Right.
I checked it.
Right.
Or ge'ara, which is really, those are strong negative connotations, because what you're supposed to be doing is proving, to using proofs, that what you're doing is not good. And I think that takes a whole different tone.
Right. Like it good. So it's reproof, not rebuke. That's a good way to spin it. Let's just do one. Let me. I want to just point you, because we're running out of time to go upstairs for the Yom HaShoah program. So look at this. If you have this assertive communication sheet. So this is just. I found this online. It's a good way of encapsulating what assertiveness means. This is something that, as a psychologist, worked with clients to try to learn this, and I think this is really what we're going for here when we talk about reproof, right? So there's a difference between being aggressive on the one hand, that's the extreme, aggressive, that's not good, it's not what we're going for, and on the other extreme is passive, right? And letting things go, and not talking, according to Rambam, that's not good. I can't be passive. I can't be a doormat. I can't just let things go because then I built up resentment. And I will then have another problem on my hands. So if you think about it, if you want to think about it in terms of Derech Yisharetz, you have two opposite extremes here. You have the aggressive, mean rebuke. That's not good. That's lo sis alav chet, according to the Rambam. That's the, I'm going to sin if I embarrass him, if I'm aggressive. But on the other extreme, I can't be passive because then I'm going to have lo sis nes achicha bavadecha. So what's the middle path? What's the middle path? Hocheach tochiach. What's hocheach tochiach? I will argue that that's assertiveness. So what is assertiveness here? There's a ton on this sheet here. But assertiveness is basically communicating in a way that's appropriate, that's nice, that's not going to be aggressive, that's not going to be taken in the wrong way. It's a training to be able to communicate if somebody hurts you or if you see somebody doing something bad, how to reproof in an appropriate way that gives you the best shot at the person not becoming defensive and also is able for you to communicate what's good for you. So we don't have time to go through it now. Take this with you. Read through it. Learn about assertiveness. Maybe at a different point in time, we'll go into it in more detail. But I really think it's a beautiful way of framing it. And especially if you look at this, I just thought about this now. The pasuk has the three parts to it. What are the three parts of the pasuk? On the one hand, is lo sisna sachicha bavadecha. That's one extreme. That's the first clause. That's the right. The lo sisna alav chet is the third clause, which is the other extreme. So that's my aggression, passiveness and my aggression. And the middle path is the hocheach tochiach in the appropriate assertive way. I think that's a nice way of framing everything else. We're what?
When you want to criticize someone, you
can
give them
a sheet. Right. We're stopping officially. We'll take a few questions. We have to leave some time for people to go upstairs. Okay, yeah, so we're going to bench and then we'll take questions because people have the program starting in 5 minutes.